All right, so we're continuing on in C++ AMP world, and now we're going to meet some of the people who make sure this stuff actually works. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Jerry Higgins. I'm the test engineer lead for the C++ AMP team.
Excellent, man. And so I think by now people have been watching this series of videos. They're sort of up to speed with what's going on with C++ AMP. It's a really interesting model. I wanted to talk to you about some of the strategies you have in place for, you know, testing this model.
Great. So there are a lot of challenges with heterogeneous computing, of course, because you're doing some things on the CPU side and other things on, in this case, most often on the graphics cards and different things. There's also a lot of permutation explosions that we deal with in a model like this, because we have many dimensions, including different hardware manufacturers, different OSs we're testing, and even different like driver levels. And so there's a lot of challenges around that. In addition, we're testing both a compiler as well as libraries at the same time. Many times we segment that a little bit differently where different folks work on those things, but in this case we both had to do the language testing as well as the libraries testing, and it's made it challenging to break the problem down, but fortunately, we've hired a great team of engineers to attack this problem. So we always try to focus on people with strong development skills, even though they're working in the test discipline, because you really do have to write code to test this stuff.
But that brings up a good point. I think it's been much too long since we've really covered the test discipline on Channel 9. Usually we focus on what are called, you know, software design engineers. I mean, you're all developers. You're all engineers. You all write code.
Yeah.
So could you just, for the people out in the audience, what is the modern test discipline at Microsoft?
One of the things, so what the test team tries to do these days is we get very involved early in the design aspects of the product. And so a big part of test is actually getting the specification clarified, so driving ambiguity out and these kinds of things right at the beginning, and making sure that what we're building is testable and it is properly componentized so that we can kind of optimize the what we're doing here.
Sure.
And then, of course, we need to understand the language itself well. We are trying to make this this is going to be an open specification for the C++ AMP, so it potentially will be cross-platform as well.
Uh-huh.
And so it's very important that I get people that can both test language-type constructs and write library code. We've also focused on this team a lot on taking workloads from other languages that are also data parallel languages, languages like OpenCL and CUDA. And so these are have been pioneering efforts as well in this distributed space. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the hardest problems you guys have had to face. Like, what were some of the bottlenecks? Mm-hmm. Give us some meaty test information.
Sure. So probably one of the biggest challenges we ran into early on is we had a design that was done by prototyping, and at the very beginning, we didn't have a lot of test people on the team. We started with a very small team as we're doing prototyping and things. As this shifted more to a product, we had to get a lot more disciplined about it, and we also made some really dramatic design changes because it is a V1 and we only have one chance to get this right.
Mm.
And so it's been very challenging where you've built up a lot of test collateral and now you've got to change that test collateral to fit your new model as you're making design changes. And so the team has been very involved in both the design changes themselves and making sure they're right, and also making sure that we have proper coverage on all the different aspects. The other really large challenge is a permutation explosion, and one of my engineers will be talking a little bit more about that.
Cool.
But there's a lot of dimensions to this, as I mentioned earlier.
I'm sure. Excellent, man. So before we go and meet these people, this is going to be great, sort of classic Channel 9. I'm just going to pick the camera up. You're going to lead us down the hallways. It's going to be fun. In some sense, do you guys have, you know, automated tests where you pound on the GPU for like 4 days?
Yeah, so we do. That's more of a stress testing thing.
Yeah, yeah.
We absolutely do that. We have, I believe, on the order of a couple of thousand tests, somewhere on that right now. And so some of those tests, like I mentioned earlier, would be more focused around language syntax.
Yes.
We have the restriction modifiers, of course.
Yep.
And that actually, the C++ language is a complex language. Another person will be talking a little bit about the challenges there, where you look at integrating with all these more advanced template features, functors, different things like that.
Absolutely. And you can do it, which I think is a wonderful thing that you guys have pulled this off.
It really feels first class. I mean, when you're using it, one of the big epiphanies I had was going from what we'd done in our prototypes, which is more C-like, to what we've done now, which really feels first class. You don't really feel like you're doing things like in a separate language or separate compiler. It's all very integrated, comes with Visual Studio, really low barrier to entry to kind of get started with AMP code.
Great, man. Excellent. So let's go meet some people.
Great.
All right.
Sounds good.
So let's do this old school. We're going to open the door here and walk out.
I'm going to grab this thing and go like this.
Great.
Here we go. So we're in building 40 right now, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, that's a cool building.
Yeah, this is neat. This is we're up on the fifth floor, which is kind of nice, too, so you can get a little bit of the scenery when you get by the windows as well.
And what is that, sun outside in February?
Yeah, is that that's astonishing or what?
What's going on here?
We're one heck of a good simulation. What did you do? I'd like to introduce you to Joe Mayo.
Hey,
Hi.
Joe.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing, man?
Good, not bad.
So we're walking around meeting the engineers on this team that's been cranking on C++ AMP and testing it and figuring out where it goes right and where it goes wrong. So what do you do?
Well, I'm just a tester. I sit around and test things. No. so I develop code that will exercise the C++ AMP APIs and try to break it.
Great.
You know? And make sure that we get all the coverage that we want. So making sure that everything works with everything that's out there.
Absolutely.
As much as possible, anyway.
So now, what are some of the good breaks that you found? Like, what, give me some meat, man.
Well, my first day here, one of my first days was, I'm a Visual Studio guy. And so I tried using Visual Studio, and I was able to break it, like, just opening up a project, and it was kind of cool to like get my first bug in my first day. Well, first day that I tried, anyways. So,
right on.
Yeah.
So now, what's an example of like a test you write? So do you focus more on the language side of it, or the user side of it? The user developer side, the language side, the compiler side?
Yeah. So I like to focus on the developer side. I'm a developer myself, and I want to make sure that when I write code. That it works the way I expect it to. So one of the things that I kind of have a lot of emphasis with is to make sure that our test framework can allow developers like me, who are testers, developers who are trying to check in code and not break things, and our lab runs to make sure that they are able to get all the coverage as much as possible. And so part of that is to make sure that our framework can support those things. Excellent. So I do actually have prepared on my board here some things, some aspects of our framework that we try to include. I don't know if you want to. I can just point as we're going along.
That's fine.
So we have lots of AMP supports, lots of different types, and can be run on lots of different types of devices. We have CPU, which isn't a compute device, but it's used for managing buffers and things like that. So we don't really target computation on that. But all these other devices, we got the Ref device, which is used for debugging, the Warp device, which is in Windows 8. GPU is just any GPU that you find on the machine that's an actual physical card.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have different capabilities of those cards, even in Ref, there's different capabilities as far as double support is concerned, and we want to make sure that we have the coverage that we need. Luckily, our APIs now with beta, we used to have this supports double precision API in the accelerator to determine whether or not what's the support for double on the accelerator. Now we added another one that helps distinguish between regular limited double support, which is just, okay, yeah, I can use double type in my computation, but then some cards don't provide things like division by zero, double division,
okay.
Some advanced math, precise math functions and things like that. So that's what we call extended double support, but that's really what this supports double precision property will tell you.
Okay.
And then we need to be able to specify in our lab runs are we targeting this lab run towards, you know, Ref, towards GPU, a specific vendor's card, or are we using Warp? We need to be able to have our framework target those things. And so, which it does.
Sure. Now, and warp is for people out there to know, that's the CPU target, not the GPU, right? That's so you can, if you don't have a GPU on board that we support, we can emulate on the CPU.
Correct, and that's a new thing in, well, I don't know if it's really exactly
new. We supported graphics rendering in prior versions of DirectX, but the newest version supports actually direct compute on warp.
Yeah. Cool. So warp is great, and it's supported, so that way if you don't have a graphics card on your Win 8 machine, it'll at least back up to warp, to use warp. So we got to make sure we get all that coverage.
Okay.
Also, we've found bugs, believe it or not, with this. The compute scenario with DirectX 11 is somewhat fairly new. Graphics development is pretty new area of computation and whatnot. And so AMP brings that coding power of the GPU up into the all regular developers' hands. And so we're going to have this code running on lots of cards. And so it's natural that we're going to find some issues with driver bugs and things like that. And so we need to make sure that our code, our testing framework, can identify them, that we can mark them as failing so that way we can still get the same code coverage that we still need, and then to also then be able to remove them once they've been fixed, once we get a new driver and a beta driver and stuff.
Sure.
So this architecture helps us by being able to specify, okay, what type, you know, if I have a test that it needs double support or needs maybe just limited double support, maybe I have a test that's a negative test, okay, I want to run this test on a card, on a machine that doesn't have double support. So I need to be able to specify that in a test and have all our framework and test suite go and execute the code so we get the coverage that we want.
Excellent. Well, hey, man, thank you for doing what you do. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, when developers out there getting out of hands, it's kind of gone through yours first, and that's a good thing. I bet you have a lot of fun playing with all the different cards.
I do, and I get really cool. Check out my machine. I was really glad to get this Alienware box. It's got an NVIDIA card and an ATI card in there. It's super duper.
Nice.
I love it.
And you guys, awesome. So the question I would have, you know, I mean, in some sense, what if you had a machine that had five cards in it for some reason? It would work flawlessly.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So also, for some on a developer machine like this machine, if I want to run all our tests and I want to run it on say I had two NVIDIA cards with different kinds of support. Mm-hmm. So this general flag here will allow me to specify, okay, run on both NVIDIA cards, right? Well, if they've got different kind of support, I can actually there's a way that I can specify a specific card too, so that way, which is good on my machine, so I don't have to have the whole lab suite, mm-hmm. which will go and cover things, which Pavan will talk about what we do in the lab and how we set up the different machines to get the coverage.
But excellent.
This is great because then I can have really cool box.
Right on. It is cool, man.
As possible,
it is. Right on. Well, hey, great to meet you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for coming on CI, man.
Sweet.
Keep on rocking.
Thanks.
All right.
Very
cool.
And Joe's been really involved in our creating our library for a test framework. It's really working out well for us.
Nice.
Next person I'd like to talk to is Wukash Mendicus.
Okay. Who's studying or working? Hey, how are you doing, man?
Good,
thanks. Right on. So you just walk in your office with a camera. So what do you do, man? What's your story?
Well, I'm a tester on the C++ app team. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible for the product quality.
Mm-hmm.
I may tell you about one testing area that I was covering.
Beautiful.
It might be interesting for us.
Sure.
So, as you probably know already, the entry point to the parallel world for the developers in AMP is a parallel for each call.
Mm-hmm.
By default, and the most useful way is to provide the lambda expression there.
Okay.
But we also allow to provide a function object there. And lambda is probably pretty easy case for our developers because it ends up as a function object generated by the compiler, so they know what to expect there. But if you allow to provide a function object defined by the programmer, well, it's a welcome to the wild, really. It's a C++ world, so you can do whatever you want there.
Sure.
So as a tester, I have to really cover most of the C++ features that you might provide there.
Okay.
To name it, just a few. You might have a template. The function object may be a template. It may have a templated function call operator. Mm-hmm. It may have overloading of the function call operator. It might have inherited function call operator. It might have inherited from multiple base classes, leading to ambiguity.
Okay.
Then you have, in the case of ambiguity, you can solve it by the using declaration. So it's a really huge area, and in fact, it was quite a model for bugs. So as a tester, you are really happy when you find something like that.
Sure.
Then you dig into it, and you keep getting one bug after another.
Mm.
So it's like digging a gold nugget, but you're not really happy that you find it.
Mm.
Just you're mining for the gold nuggets. You're not really happy because you find a gold nugget. You are happy because you can sell it and use the money for whatever you want.
Yeah.
And when you find a bug, you're really happy because you can sell it to developers, and your ultimate profit is the later customer satisfaction.
Excellent, man.
So it's really great.
Yes.
Speaking of customer satisfaction,
yeah.
We also have the of the C++ example, we're not only incorporating our project in the Visual Studio 11, we also have the open spec released, so any third-party vendor might implement the language feature in his compiler or even on other platform.
Sure.
But as C++ was inherently a portable language, yeah. So we want our feature set also to be portable.
Yes.
So if we want to be portable, we have to make sure that our own implementation is fully conformant with the spec. So that's also quite an effort in the team to make sure that the open spec really covers that what are we doing. It really covers all the areas of C++ language that are there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're really pushing an effort to be fully conformant with it and to make our customers really happy.
Excellent, man. You guys have done great work, and I'm looking forward to seeing what people do with it in the real world.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's general purpose GPU. It's GPU means general purpose.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they do. Hey, great to meet you, man, and great work.
Thank you.
Thank you for finding bugs and being a great engineer as well.
Sure.
All right, take care, man. All right.
Great. So we're going to go down now and talk to Daniel Griffin.
Okay.
Daniel Griffin actually worked on the concurrency visualizer, which you might be familiar with.
Yes.
And he's going to talk a little bit about that as it relates to the GPU world as well. So.
Great.
Daniel?
Hey.
All right.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thanks.
Right on.
Talking a little bit about some of the improvements we made to the concurrency visualizer in support of C++ AMP. We basically, between the developer preview and the beta, we've added support for runtime events that come directly out of the C++ AMP runtime.
Mm.
They're basically captured in an ETAEW log file, and they're visualized up inside of the concurrency visualizer in the threads view.
Mm.
Specifically, we look at expose events that basically show on the host side different things like how long an operation is taken or when memory transfers and those types of things that are actually occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Those are available in the case of C++ AMP. Right now they are DirectX specific.
And so
that actually is something that we're really excited to see as a part of the diagnostic story with C++ AMP and performance tuning.
Sure.
Another thing that I'm actually working on with the team is support for the open specification, and specifically there's interest with external, with some different companies that might actually be interested in implementing C++ AMP in their compiler to have a common specification or sharing of tests to support the specification.
Excellent.
So I'm working on the infrastructure or working with those companies to come up with a common set of tests that we can basically use. Some of that is going to be seeded by the tests that we have internally, and we'll also be trying to work with companies to have them also contribute into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's actually something that I'm actually very excited about in terms of working with the external world.
That's great.
I guess the final thing that I've been kind of looking at is how C++ AMP works with Windows 8 and Metro style applications. And so we're working on testing and making sure that we interop well with Windows 8 in those Metro style in the Metro style environment.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that certainly the piece of that is taking our tests and getting them to execute inside of that environment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some infrastructure changes that we've needed to make that happen.
Okay.
As well as working with the side of our team to do some end-to-end app building types of exercises to make sure that all of our test, or sorry, that the runtime works well, and that we basically have a good end-to-end story for our users.
Excellent, man. Well, great work, and thank you.
All right, thank you.
It's really nice to meet you.
All right.
Right on. Yeah, I like the Windows 8 story. It's good.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, you guys are interoperating with Calm, right?
Yeah.
Well, DirectX as well. I mean, DirectX.
Yeah, we've done a really some really neat work interoping with C++ AMP and DirectX, because mm-hmm. a lot of these workloads, by their nature, you do want to do, there's some graphic element to them, and so. You know, our texture support and some of our underlying buffer support, we do allow interop between the two.
All right. I'm not going to let them read that, though.
Actually, that would be pretty funny sometimes. Huh. Let's see. I'm not sure if he's here, actually.
That's all right.
Oh, yes, okay.
All right.
I'd like to introduce you now to Tamer Efafi.
Okay. You're on Candid Camera, man. Well, not so Candid Camera. How are you doing?
First time to meet you. Hi.
Nice to meet you. So we're going around meeting all the testers and engineers on his team.
Great.
So what do you do?
I'm working on testing the debugging feature for C AMP.
Okay. And what does that mean? I mean, so like, what do you?
So one of the cool features for C AMP is that it inherits the same debugging experience from C++ native.
Great.
And it allows you all the features that we have for debugging, the same old features that we have, like launching, attaching, stepping, breaking in the code, all the features that the developer is used to for C++ native is by default is applied for C AMP. But not only, we realized that there is special needs and special requirements for a developer working with a huge amount of data parallelism.
Uh-huh.
And for this, we introduced new features like parallel GPU, threads, and parallel watch, and parallel stack. So we introduced new tools and new windows for debugging experience for C++ AMP.
Excellent. Now, one of the things that C++ AMP does is the compiler generates HLSL.
Right.
And so, can you like break into HLSL and step through it?
Not in debugging, because we are not debugging HLSL right
yeah.
now. We are debugging in C AMP.
Understood. So you're debugging C++.
Yeah, we're debugging basically the C AMP part in C++.
Right? Awesome, man. And you can put anything inside of that restrict,
right.
like you know, in the block
yeah, inside the.
That you can do.
The kernel function.
Awesome, man.
That's great.
And, well, thank you. I mean, it's great that you guys are doing great work. I mean, I think people have to understand when this does ship, it's gone through lots and lots of layers of testing. And so
for
you're.
Sure.
How do you. So when you interoperate with devs, right? I mean, you got. First of all, so the test discipline is you're a developer. You happen to test. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you interoperate with developers who write the bugs, just kidding, guys. How does that, what's that like? What's that relationship like?
Our developer team, they are quite very understanding, and they mm-hmm. and they cooperate with us a lot in analyzing the bugs, and they are also with us on the same line on trying to give a high quality. So
of course.
It's nicely the least punted bugs yeah. in this team, so they always forced to fix the bugs. They always are active on fixing the bugs rather than moving it to another release.
Excellent. Huh? Well, hey, great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
And keep up the great work.
Well, sure do.
All right.
So, Charles, I'd like to very briefly introduce you to someone who you guys probably already met on the developer team, but
yeah.
he used to be on the QA team. He was actually the first member on the QA team, and so I'd like to at least give a shout-out to Simon here.
Simon's been on.
I want to give a shout-out to you, Simon.
Hey, hey Simon. Hello again, man.
Hi.
So we're going around meeting people. You used to be on his team.
Yes, yes.
And then you moved into the dev role.
I did.
And what was that like, going from being on test to being more on the other side?
It's it's different experience, but I like both.
Yeah.
I think even though you have a certain title, you are switching in your role back and forth. I still write a lot of code, so yeah, that hasn't changed. I'm just not breaking stuff anymore. I'm more trying to build stuff rather than thinking of how to break them.
Sure. Now, but this actually brings up an interesting point. I mean, because you had the role that you just mentioned that you used to do, which was trying to find and isolate bugs, mm-hmm, then present them to people who created the bugs and then have them fix them. Mm-hmm. You're now in that role. So does the experience you had from the past, how has that made you a better developer?
Well, for starters, I started fixing the bugs I have found. So I knew precisely of how the fix would look like, because when you are looking for the bug, you are looking probably at the codes that you are trying to break, and you know precisely what to do.
Excellent.
what else? Well, there are different aspects of it too. You know, I'm not spending that much time anymore analyzing the results. I have more time of looking at the specs and thinking of how I would do the design for certain features.
Excellent, Matt. And people will have met you before, and you talk about what you designed for certain features in our roundtable talk we had.
Right.
But we wanted to pop in and get to meet somebody from QA who's now in dev.
Yes.
Right on, man. Great to see you
again.
Take care.
Yeah, you would not be surprised probably to learn that Simon writes excellent check-in tests.
I'm sure.
All of our developers write check-in tests, of course, to test their feature at the unit level. And so Simon is one of the best at that.
Right on. Yeah, he seems like a rather sharp person.
Yeah, he absolutely is. So let's see. So now we're going to meet Kevin Gao.
Okay.
Hey.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm good.
Excellent. Welcome on Channel 9.
Hey, thank you.
Cool. So what do you do, Kevin?
I'm a tester on C++ M team.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, today I'm going to introduce a program which is implemented by C++ M.
Okay, great. A demo. Sweet. Nice.
Okay, basically this is a ocean simulation.
Mm.
So this is what it looks like, and this is how it works internally. Basically, you can see that this is a graph which has about 500 points. So traditionally, if you run it on CPU, it's very slow, but now we can run it on GPU, because on GPU you can think it has hundreds of microprocessors, so it will be very fast.
Mm.
And so here you can see the CPU usage is very, very low. Very, very low. And one thing I want to point out is that even though the C++ AMP is based on the direct compute, but our performance is very high, almost the same as the direct compute. For example, for this program, we also have the direct compute version, but we compared sometimes it's even higher because of some internal optimization.
Mm.
So this is the first thing I would like to introduce today.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very nice, man.
And the second thing is that because I'm a tester, so one aspect is test the compiler itself, because the C++ AMP is a part of the C++ compiler. So sometimes we can... Here I want to introduce an interesting bug. For example, here is a simple code. This is a bug of the Visual Studio 2010. This is about the latest C++ standard, C++ 2011.
Yeah.
So, for example, you can see here, this is a default constructor. This is a normal copy constructor. Here is the left reference. And this is the move, what we call move constructor. This is the right reference. So here is the output of the Visual Studio. So this is output of the Visual Studio 2010. You can see this is the call. First it's called the default constructor. Then it's called the normal constructor. However, this is not correct, because in the code, you can see here. In the code, here is what we do. So here is the F. Here is a temporary variable. We declare a red. Then we return the, this variable directly. So according to the latest spec, the expect should be look like this one. So here, the move constructor should be called, but actually it is not.
Okay.
So once I find out this bug, I also need to contact the C++ team to let them know this bug and fix it. I think this bug will be fixed in the next release of the Visual Studio 2012, I think.
Nice job, man. Yeah. Nice bug.
So I think this is my introduction today.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Great job. Keep finding those bugs, man.
Thank you very much.
Nice work. Excellent.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the complicated parts about testing. It says that you have to see how it interacts with other parts of the language and the standard. Is you've probably seen that as a recurring theme in our talks today.
Absolutely.
Now I'd like to talk to Hasibur Rahman.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Right on, man. Welcome to Channel 9.
Thank you.
Not so candid camera.
Yeah,
so what are you working on? This is your first time on C9, yes.
Yeah, first time on C9, first time on camera.
So oh, no, don't be nervous, man.
That's okay. So I'm a QA in the team, and my last part of job is to make sure that before the product gets on to the customer, it is at a great quality.
Excellent.
So I like every bit of C++ AMP, but I would like to talk about the part aspect of it that I worked on. So one of the important things with C++ AMP is the target is to leverage the computation power of accelerators, the graphics drivers, right? And it will involve definitely that you will move the data from your CPU to the GPU, right? So one of the important things that we targeted for our customer is we should make this experience very simple, seamless, and similar to the standard C++ way. So we have provided a rich set of API for that, and the amount of variation it has is like we have provided data types for handling and manipulating data. For example, we have provided arrays, we have provided array views, and within array views, you have certain variations like you can have read-only data, you can have write-only data, right? Then the way you can move the data is like you can move from accelerator to your source host, then host to accelerator, from accelerator to accelerator, then from host. So there are like many variations in
that. Sure.
Then you have variations like different types of data, user-defined data, right? So like testing all these possible ways that you can test the data, you can move the data, and testing them is like, it's important that even if one scenario does not work, customer will be pissed off, right? So there I see that it's like very important to make sure that you cover all the possible scenarios that you can copy the data. So that's what I found interesting. And many times it's like you see the your test is failing for some reason, and then you investigate it in detail, and then you find out that the accelerator on which I was running, it has an issue with it. It has some bug with it. So those are like really, it's like when it takes a lot of effort. Like, you have a big code which is not working, and then you're trying to reduce it down, and make it to that little piece that you can tell your partner who supplies you with the graphics driver that this is something not working on you, and make sure that it works on you. So that, like, so it's like extra burden for you, right? You are testing your own product, but you have to make sure that the guy, the thing we are working with, right, it should also work. So
absolutely.
So it's like a fun experience, and we are looking forward, like the C++ AMP, when it goes on to the customer, it has great quality.
Great. Well, hey, thank you for your great work and ensuring that that's the case.
Okay, thank you.
Right on. So, you can do a lot of very powerful things with those data types that you mentioned.
Yep, it certainly enable the, like, it's the computer industry has been only about, like, CPU, but the amount, as the hardware is progressing, right, and it's, I think, the duty of the software to make sure that the software leverages that power of the hardware that it provides, and I think it is still a large part of it unleveraged. So I think C++ is a good work from Microsoft in this direction, I think.
Right on, man. Well, take care, sir.
Thank you.
And keep on keeping on. Appreciate it. Nice meeting you.
Thank you.
That's really cool to meet the people that are actually making sure that this stuff works.
Definitely. And one of the things that Hasmer was talking about was minimizing the repro. And so minimizing the amount of code a developer has to look at. It's
sure.
Really important. Pavan Morella?
Hey, Pavan. How are you doing?
Fine. Thanks.
Welcome to Channel 9. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
So what are you working on?
Apparently, I want to cover in this presentation, like, how we do the testing in the lab, and also what are the parameters we do, we consider for learning.
Cool.
So the thing is, like, we have, like, OS of operating system, and then the architecture flavor, and then the GPU card are the major parameters for our defining the test matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, as part of the operating system, we should cover testing, like, under Windows 7 and the Windows 8, and the architecture x86 platform, AMD 64, and then the flavors. We have the retail and then the debug flavors. Mm. And then the GPU cards, like we have the ATI and then the NVIDIA and then the RF, and then there is a lot. Even under the ATI and the NVIDIA thing, also we have also three categories, like the low-end cards, the mid-end cards, and the high-end cards.
Okay.
So the thing is, like, so what we should do is, like, we have to create our matrix, test matrix, in such a way that, like, so that we get the coverage from the entire matrix, and also, like, in a week, with the limited time we wanted to cover the entire stuff. So what we do is, like, we ensure that daily we at least have 4 runs per day.
Okay.
So that, like, people have bandwidth to analyze the any failures are there. So among that four runs also, like, we should give the priority, like, what should be the maximum, which should be the one which should be use the maximum coverage for us.
Mm.
So that we define all the parameters on that, and then we ensure that all the runs are created.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, when we create the run side, then there is a test case, which is that for the test case, whether it decides whether it should run on that particular card or not. For example, if I take like low-end and the mid-end cards, they don't support the double precision support.
Ah.
So thing is, like, if a test case has a dependency on that, then things like it should find out, like, what card I am using it on. So whether mm-hmm. this card is having the double precision support or not, and then if the support is not there, then it should gracefully exit rather than fail it out.
Okay.
So thing is, like, our team has also the libraries where it tells, like, whether the card is having the double precision support or not,
mm-hmm.
and then based upon that they do the.
So let's just, for example, out in the real world, if you're running it, as a developer, I wrote a C++ AMP app,
yeah.
and I need double precision
yeah.
for whatever I'm doing in my algorithms.
Okay.
What happens when it runs on one of these that doesn't support double precision? You gracefully degrade to warp, or
no.
how would that work? What
no,
do you do?
No, thing is like when you try to execute a code like which needs a double precision support, and it is executed on the low end and mid end cards. What it happens is, like, it throws a runtime exception saying that, like, this card doesn't support the double precision.
Okay.
So the thing is, like, there are APIs available where we can query the operating system saying that whether it does whether the graphics card is having a double precision support or not.
Sure.
So we can do that query in the beginning of your code also.
Cool. And so the developer should just write, you know, do the logic in their code. I mean,
yes.
obviously, I'm not going to do this form of complex math
yes.
unless the underlying system can support it.
Yeah.
Right on, man. So do you have a lot of boxes in the lab? Is it really loud in there?
The thing is, like, we don't have the boxes here, so we have it definitely at a different place where all the boxes are available.
Sure.
So we do have developer boxes at each of the offices, but they don't make much noise.
Right on, man. Well, really good work, and I'm sure you found a lot of very interesting bugs in the
yeah.
lab, and that has, you know, mapped back up to the developers to fix them,
yes.
and the customers aren't going to see them.
Yeah.
Right on, Matt. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you could see from that some of the permutation explosion I was mentioning earlier, where
yeah.
those different dimensions actually add to a lot of...
Really complex test matrix.
That's right. Yeah, it is. So next, I'd like to introduce to Pooja Nagpal.
Okay.
And Pooja was the second person to join the QA team on AMP. And so,
really?
Yes,
right on. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Right on. So, what do you do?
I am a tester on the C++ AMP team. I was on the team from a very long time.
Excellent.
And initially, I was involved in the effort to integrate our... the testing effort for making sure that when we integrate C++ AMP with the actual the compiler, we
mm-hmm.
don't affect the quality, IntelliSense, and all this. So
sure.
That was what I was initially involved with. And the last few months and the last milestone, I've been testing textures. And this is a new feature that's coming with beta.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Textures traditionally have been used in the graphics pipeline to render detail on to say a cube or graphics objects, and turns out that they're very they can be used in compute scenarios as well. They provide excellent spatial locality and support for byte level addressing, and we're surfacing them as first class C++ AMP objects. And,
nice.
And the testing for this was very interesting. There were a whole bunch of data types that have never been present in C++ before, like 16-bit floating points, norms, and new norms, and it was challenging to test them. They don't have direct support, and that's what I've been doing the last few months.
Great job. That's nice. So you've been on the team since the beginning. What are some of your feelings on how it's evolved and where it is today in its beta form?
How it's evolved?
Do you think that it's, from when you first started, there's been some changes in capability and perhaps, maybe the initial designs had to be tweaked a little bit?
Yeah, the initial design, it was sort of an outsider to the language. And over the many revisions, we talked to the C++ experts and our architects. They work together, and now the way it looks, it feels like it's part of the language. It no longer feels like an outside library. It's it flows with the language.
Excellent. Yeah. Very cool. And that, of course, required a lot of work to ensure that that's the case, because you can do anything you can do in C++ inside of a restrict block.
Right. The impedance mismatch has reduced. It doesn't feel like a different language anymore.
Right on. Well, great work, and keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
One more guy I'd like to talk to, but it's a ways down the hall here.
So. Oh, that's fine. People like to see marching up and down the hall.
Excellent.
It's cool. But I guess people have been watching Channel 9 for long enough must start wondering, like, we must design all of our buildings exactly the same.
Yeah.
At least in the
hallway. I can tell you from experience that they are a little bit different, because I've been caught in the rat's maze a few times where I'm wondering where the cheese is. Some of those buildings, they'll dead end on an outdoor corridor or an outside corridor. They probably do look all the same from the video.
Totally. Well, at least the hallways are consistent with hallway.
Yeah. Well, some nice art here, actually. It's kind of nice. I enjoy the variety of art we have in some of these buildings.
Yeah, the thing I like about Building 40, which, of course, my team is going to be moving here.
Oh, excellent.
Probably after this video is out. But I really love these little areas right here to come in.
Yeah, this is actually where we
geek
do our
out.
Stand-up meeting in the morning. So we actually do, every morning we do a stand-up here where everybody kind of talks about what they're doing during the day. And it also gives us the opportunity to kind of talk about, is there things that people can help each other with or have some input on.
That's awesome.
So Barath's right down this way.
All right.
Sorry, turn your head there.
No worries.
Now, Barath actually brought on the team to do some pretty specific things, to actually work on creating some scientific and different kinds of workloads through the exercise app, as opposed to doing the more traditional regular functional testing and stress testing.
Okay.
And so I think he's going to talk about some of these workloads as we get in here. So
right on.
This is Barath Mysore Nanjindapa.
Hey, Barath. How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for coming on
C9. Oh, thank you.
So, you working on some more of the scientific side of the house?
Yes, I ported some of the applications, some of the workloads, and most of them are on our blog. It's called Native Concurrency. Probably you guys should try it out and give us feedback on how it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And also let us know that we have another forum. Probably you can ask questions. We can give you a sample and see how to improve stuff and all those things. I'm the guy who is maintaining NBody code now.
Mm.
So if there's anything you guys want to try out or have improve on it, I have the source code shared on our blog.
Excellent.
And then you can improve it or have any questions, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also as I'm developing, I'm kind of finding interesting bugs, especially around synchronization, where we optimize something and we see some weird errors. So that's something that
Now these scientific workloads, by definition, are going to be big ones. Right?
Well, we kind of if you look at the application itself is big. But what we do is we take a portion of it, which is applicable for C++ ARM, and then try to see how we are doing, what patterns can help improve the performance of such code.
Excellent. Well, hey, great to meet you.
Thank you.
And thanks for having the courage to come in front of camera. It's easy, isn't it?
No?
Right on. Take care. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, Barath actually knows OpenCL and CUDA, a couple of the other data parallel languages as well.
Okay.
So he's been able to kind of see make sure that we have good feature parity as well as you know, some of the more advanced things we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think in some sense it's also important for developers to have a little, you know, now that you've made this a general purpose development capability and experience, those developers at that level, so not the guys that already are doing OpenCL and stuff, writing C and they're graphics people and they're used to the dealing with kernels and this and that, to get them sort of in the mindset of when to use C++ plus AMP and how to use it in the best possible way to extend and make your application better or faster, as opposed to just add extra complexity because you can do it.
That's right. And there's a lot. There's certain patterns that just don't work well on some of these accelerators, right? I mean, probably the most prevalent one is divergent code. So anytime you have divergent code paths on these GPU accelerators in particular, you end up stalling out cores potentially. And so you won't quite get the kind of insanely cool bandwidth that you might have been expecting out of these little supercomputers, right? Like some of these cards will do close to 200 gigabytes per second bandwidth, and it's pretty astonishing, right?
That's amazing. It's,
and the context switching of threads is almost free. So there's some things that are a little different than what you see in CPU that are much more closely related to what you would see in a lot of the supercomputing vector computers of the past.
Nice.
It's one of the reasons why one of the things the team does is look at a lot of the old research that was done, in particular Guy Blalock and some of these guys at Carnegie Mellon, with parallel prefix scan and those kinds of things, right? And, it's kind of neat that that used to be such a niche that was for supercomputing people, that now we're bringing this to the masses and really democratizing this technology. It's very, very exciting.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, it was great to meet you. And thanks for taking us on this tour.
Thank you.
Really nice to meet your team. You guys are doing great work. Cool. Cheers.
Thank you.